This is Akashvani. In the weekly program, Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on Harnessing Waste-to-Wealth Strategies for Cleaner Cities and a Sustainable Future. The participants are Dr. V.K. Chaurasia, Advisor, Central Public Health and Environmental Engineering Organization, Ministry of Housing and Urban Affairs, and Mukul Sanwal, Senior Environmentalist. The moderator is Rajesh Lake, anchor.
As the Swachh Bharat Abhiyan movement swept the nation, India uncovered its path to a cleaner, more sustainable future. In line with India's declaration in the Paris Accord, the next stride in this direction aims to overstep waste and pollution management, transforming these menaces into productive avenues of energy and growth. To discuss harnessing waste to wealth strategies for cleaner cities and a sustainable future, we are delighted to have Dr. V.K. Chaurasia, Advisor, Central Public Health and Environmental Engineering Organization, Ministry of Housing and Urban Affairs, and Mukul Sanwal, Senior Environmentalist. And we also have our correspondents, Aparna Kunt from Ahmedabad and Anupam Mishra from Delhi. A warm welcome to each one of you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, the Waste to Wealth mission set up under the Prime Minister's Science, Technology and Innovation Advisory Council will leverage global technological capabilities to create socio-economic benefits for 1.3 billion Indians by addressing the issues of waste disposal, deteriorating air quality and increasing pollution of water bodies. Dr. V.K. Chaurasia, would you please elaborate as to what is this Waste to Wealth mission?
This Swachh Bharat mission, under which we are taking this initiative of Waste to Wealth, it is basically channelizing whatever waste is coming in different useful streams after processing and suitably using that. So let us say if I tell at present in country 1.5 lakh ton of solid waste is generated, if we tell about solid waste, out of that around 50% is, let us say, weight waste, food waste. Another 50% out of that is 20% recyclables, 10% inert, and another 20% can be maybe one for waste to energy another. These are the broad streams where if we are able to segregate and channelize, these all things can be converted into waste. Like we have heard today that waste to wealth plant is, this waste to energy plant is inaugurated today. So this is one part of it. So to moving on this strategy, two things are very important. One, this processing part with proper segregated channels. Another is behavior change and awareness in the people. So in both these cases, we are taking steps and we are doing all things needed to saturate it.
Okay. And Mukulji, the mission aims to identify, test, validate and deploy technologies to treat waste to generate energy, recycle materials and extract resources of value and provide technology database of national and international technologies that will support urban local bodies address their waste challenges. How would this be done?
We have to see this in a broader perspective. The Union has moved very far ahead in this line, partly because of the high density of the population and low land area compared to United States and other Canada and other countries like that. So the question comes, what are these countries doing? The waste of, say, Paris, Vienna, Copenhagen, for example, are all treated to generate electricity and heat. They need heat for heating buildings and industrial units. We need electricity to generate power, clean power, and also to pay for the cost of running the plant. So technology is available outside. We have not been developing this technology because we have relied largely on the rag pickers, the kabadi wallas and people of that kind, primarily because the waste that we generated so far was not combustible, was biodegradable. The rag pickers picked what was useful and the rest was dumped. Now, this carried on for a long time. If you drive out into the countryside, you see local municipalities, which are just town areas, which are becoming municipalities, dumping waste on the outskirts of the city. of the municipality. In Delhi, for example, we had these waste sites. Now, as the population increases, this problem also increases. There are two aspects. One, not only the increase in size of the population, but increase in wealth of the population. Initially, most of the waste is biodegradable. The peelings of the vegetables, things like that, they are biodegradable. But as wealth increases, we move more towards plastic and paper packaging. Delivery is all paper and plastic packaging. Now, that doesn't degrade, but that burns. So the question that we are facing really is that at what stage in our development, and that stage is now really Gujarat has shown the way, we move away from the traditional model, which really took care of a problem that didn't exist at that stage of economic development and urbanization, to a more modern or more anticipatory approach, because we are going to urbanize.
Mukulji, there is a lack of action at large.
Correctly. We are already late. We are late because municipal bodies do not recognize this as a public concern. They are looking at it in terms of disposal of waste. You put it in the outskirts of the city. The city expands. That becomes comes into the center of the city. Now, the Gujarat experiment is interesting because you are introducing modern technology to burn the waste at a very high temperature and generate electricity.
Okay.
It is no longer a question of disposal of a waste and asking questions, what should we do? Here is a solution.
Yeah.
Of course, there will be questions around this technology, whether it's appropriate or not. But we will never be able to find out unless we actually do it.
Okay, I'll bring in my correspondents over here, Aparna and Anupam. So today, Mr. Amit Shahi inaugurated Gujarat's largest waste-to-energy power generation plant. I would first like you to update all of us on this, and after that, we will talk about how this is going to be effective. Aparna.
Yes, we know that today, Union Home Minister Amit Shah inaugurated state's largest waste-to-energy plant at Pipalaj in Ahmedabad. See, every city in the country is facing this problem of solid waste management. So if we talk about Ahmedabad, the city is actually generating more than 3,500 tons of solid waste, especially the municipal solid waste, every day. So looking at the quantum of the garbage, it's very essential to get it processed, get it recycled, because city is ever expanding. Ahmedabad has Ahmedabad Municipal Corporation, in association with Jindal Group, on PPP model, they've introduced this largest waste-to-energy plant at Pipalaj. It's near to this Pirana landfill where the waste is accumulated and mostly it gets recycled. But burning the waste is not an ideal solution if we look at the environmental concerns. So now they have come up with modern technology, and these waste will get processed and electricity will be generated. So if we talk about the quantum of waste to electricity generation, then the 1,000 tons of garbage will get processed out of this. And each hour, it will produce 15 megawatt of energy, like electricity. So okay. If you look at the per day electricity production, it will be like 360 megawatt per day. So huge amount of methane and carbon dioxide, which would have been released in air, it will be processed. So this plant actually is basically a big step towards green and clean development of cities. And it's a big example of circular economy, because whatever things are going to be used in the plant, like the water will come from these sewage treatment plants, and all the byproducts which we get from the plant, like ash and everything, it will be used for road construction, for brick making. So everything will be circulated within the environment. And I think this is a big step and an ideal for all the other cities to replicate.
That's very well put, Aparna. Dr. Chaurasia, how do you see this Waste to Wealth initiative contribute to creating cleaner cities and reducing urban population? And at the same time, as Aparna mentioned, there are two-pronged strategy being used. One is to generate, in fact, the word she used was circular economy, which is like each and everything will be utilized and put to use for the development of the city. So why can this not be done in the other cities? In fact, Mukul mentioned that also other countries do it very effectively. Dr. Chaurasia, your views.
Ahmedabad is one city where this waste-to-electricity plant has been inaugurated. But I would like to mention, as on date, some 21 waste-to-energy plants are already there. 14 are working and 7 under construction. This one is out of that. Another 5 plants have been executed, and our plan is under Swachh Bharat Mission Urban that the cities which have population more than 10,000, there this sort of waste to energy plants become viable, and there we are planning to support urban local body financially to set up these plants. So if we see from waste to energy perspective, these plants are already, let us say, functioning efficiently, and only they are utilizing the most difficult part of solid waste. If I tell, as initially I mentioned, in dry waste fraction also some 20% recyclable, they will be taken by rag pickers, some it will go to industry recycled like PET bottles and all other things. Plus, the remaining whatever this 20% is there, which is of less calorific value and cannot be recycled, this waste to energy plant is very, very suitable technology for that. And since these plants effectively work when quantity of waste is, let us say, 1000 TPD or above, in such cases, there is, let us say, business, there is, I will say, operational efficiency, and there is return compared to smaller plants. So all these 10 lakh and above population towns, as a strategy we are proposing, and we are trying that very soon within this Swachh Bharat Mission period up to 2026, majority of plants will be set up.
Mukul?
This is related to...
Okay. Yeah. Mukul, how can cities incentivize businesses and individuals to participate in waste-to-wealth practices on a larger scale?
There are two aspects here, and this is probably the most critical point that you have raised, is that traditionally cities have land with them. So if you set up a waste treatment plant, waste to energy plant, you can be given land at concessional rates. Hospitals were given this land in Delhi and other places at one stage. Now we have moved to another stage, and if waste treatment plants are given land by the municipality, it will be part of policy. Secondly, Government of India is providing subsidy. We just heard about that. But I think the most important factor in Gujarat, and I suspect that is why the Union Home Minister has associated himself with this, is the public-private participation model. I think this is the, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first case in India where the industry has come forward to partner the municipal corporation and set up this plant. I think this is very important, because if the plant is set up by the municipality, that is not their main function. Now, there will be operational efficiency if the private sector comes in. The private sector has steel and cement units. They will use the fly ash, the ash that comes out, mix with cement, which is authorized. They will give it to the highway people or builders who will use this. So that will also be utilized. It will not be dumped somewhere, because there is a substantial amount of waste. Most efficient plants in Europe are still producing 15% of this fly ash or waste, which can be used, but it has to be disposed there. You have to find a place to use it. Now, the third important point is that we need a model like this, because the traditional model of municipal boards running this on themselves is not going to work. We have something like 55 million metric tons, and with urbanization, it is going to increase to 600. Let me give another example. Municipal corporations started having traffic signals on their own. Then they outsourced the whole thing to somebody else and said, you set up the traffic signal, you set up the camera, but you maintain it all. The issue that came up in our history of municipal corporations is that as the functions get more complex, as population size increases, as the nature of the work changes, you have to have a different model. Municipal corporations cannot do the maintenance work, cannot do the running work. And I think that is the most important significance of this Gujarat experiment, that there is a public partnership, a private partnership model. And if this can be spread, first, it will spread quickly. Secondly, operational efficiency will be ensured, maintenance will be ensured, and then we can have a viable model of technology also, because the private sector is more equipped to select the right technology for a particular kind of waste than a municipal corporation. Municipal corporation will look at the lowest standard. The private sector has the competence to look into the technology that they are getting. Is it the most appropriate? Is it the optimum? Because their reputation is also at stake. So I think this is the real breakthrough, which will make a big difference to this waste problem throughout the country. Because so far we were groping for an approach.
Yes,
we were looking for an approach. We didn't have an approach.
Yeah, Mukulji, let me give all our participants a few figures. India is projected to surpass China as the world's most populous country by 2027. And by 2050, India's urban population will nearly double to reach 814 million. And waste generation in urban area of India will be 0.7 kilogram per person per day in next year, 2025, approximately 4 to 6 times higher than what it was in 1999. And solid waste, plastic waste and e-waste are the principal waste materials that we have to deal with. Now I come to the air pollution in India. It's a serious health issue. One of the most populated cities in the world is Delhi. In fact, 22 out of the 30 are in India as per the data of 2018. And 40 million people in India breathe air that is 10 times or more over the WHO safe limit. Given this, we just went with Diwali yesterday and today, and air pollution is at its peak. And Anupam, we would like to get your views as to how is Delhi groping with the air pollution caused by not only burning of the waste, but also Diwali festivities.
Yes, Rajesh, despite all the measures, Delhi's air quality dropped significantly after Diwali celebrations. Apart from firecrackers, stubble burning, vehicular emissions, industrial pollutants and climatic conditions like low wind speed are giving way to pollution and people are suffering from it. The city recorded pollution levels at a very poor category this morning, resulting in people saw a thin layer of smog in Delhi this morning. Air quality index reached to 400 mark in Anand Vihar area of the city. So the effect of pollution was also seen on the temperature. The city also experienced a record-breaking temperature in October this year, with an average maximum temperature of 35 degrees Celsius, which is highest since 1951. Rajesh, I would like to tell you that the center has taken extensive measures to reduce pollution levels in Delhi NCR. The central government issued a strict regulation to curtail the stubble burning. Graded response action plan, GRAP stage 2 in Delhi NCR and adjoining areas is in place now after the Commission of Air Quality Management ordered it last month. Just like you say, that if a waste-to-wealth program is implemented in the nearby areas of Delhi, particularly in Punjab, Haryana and Uttar Pradesh, the stubble burning problem will be solved and Delhiites can get some relief from this massive pollution.
Dr. Chaurasia, can you give us some examples of cities or communities that have successfully implemented waste-to-wealth strategies and seen measurable environmental or economic benefits? And also, I will combine the other thing along with this. How does waste-to-wealth align with the principles of the circular economy? And what benefits does it bring to urban sustainability?
As regards these examples, I would like to mention even in Gujarat, where the Ahmedabad case today we have heard, Surat is one example which is managing its solid waste and even liquid waste very efficiently, leading to sustainability. One example I would like to give from this, it's liquid waste only. Whatever the sewage is generated out of that, per annum they are earning at this present around 120 crore, which in next 2-3 years they are going to raise to 800 crore that will be meeting their requirement. And treated even wastewater also they are not going to put in river and water body. Maximum they are trying to utilize, because even if they are discharging, it is having some pollution. Similarly, if we say in case of solid waste also, fully they are able to collect waste and process in different streams, as I mentioned. Similarly, if you see in case of Indore, that is another the cleanest city that has got tagged along with the Surat. They have also mentioned in very, very exemplary way. If we come to a smaller town, even in this case also, Ambikapur has been there, and this Trichy model. Many, many cities are there which have been able to circulate whatever the waste is generated in different usages. As regards, if we want to let us see the constraint what is coming in this case to leading to circularity, is the major problem is offtake, where we are working now, that whether it is coming from wet waste compost, or even if it is coming, let us say, construction debris, or even whatever is coming as a inert from waste to energy, or in a smaller town, the non-recyclable waste, how it will be suitably taken care, because if it is going to continue at some point of time, it is going to again create a heap. So in case of compost, we are trying that it is utilized in the field, and that is one good example of circularity. Similarly, in case of these non-combustible portion or less combustible portion of less, I will say, calorific value waste, it is now going to waste to energy plants and all other recyclables, they are being channelized. Similarly, in case of CND waste also, we are trying to make paver blocks and bricks and various other useful things that is going to be again utilized in municipality and nearby area. So these are some of the examples. And even in Delhi also, where the very large city where huge quantity of waste is there, land is not there, these four waste to energy plants, they are working successfully, and again they are increasing. That alone takes care around 8,000 metric ton of waste out of their 11,000 waste generated. So these are the examples which are really leading, and all others are also following, seeing that.
Okay, so what are the three frontiers of action to promote and support the goals of the Swachh Bharat, Unnat Bharat Abhiyan? I will go with what policy frameworks are talking about. One, the Solid Waste Management Rules 2026, which has been notified, Plastic Waste Management and E-Waste Management Rules 2016, they have been notified as well. So, Mukul, how would you describe these three frontiers of action that the government has put their emphasis on, along with the public-private partnerships, which is, I heard Aparna talk about it, you talk about it, and everyone seemed to be in agreement on having the public-private partnership to generate a buzz about how we can harness waste to wealth. And this is something that can also create awareness in the general public and industry so that the waste can be generated into wealth.
You mentioned three legislations. Legislation is the first step, because the clear signal has to go to society, to municipal boards, to industry, that this is the direction government wants the economy to take. Now, once we have that in the statute books, then it comes the question of implementation. Here, there are three aspects to this urban waste, which you have pointed out. One is the electronic waste. Now, this is again going to increase as urbanization increases. We are going to have more mobile phones. We are going to replace them. There are going to be parts that will need to be changed. Air conditioners also have electronic components which you get spoiled and have need to be changed. Television sets and, of course, the data centers, laptops, which are now becoming very, very widespread. So this is not biodegradable. This has the metal in it has certain properties which can contaminate groundwater, which can lead to very harmful effects, including cancer. So this needs to be treated separately, and government has made that policy. Similarly, plastic waste is a little more difficult. The bigger the plastics you can control, but the plastic bag is a serious problem in India, because we are not going to the department stores like Europe and North America. We have not reached that stage where you buy semi-processed cut fruit and vegetable. You don't peel the vegetable or fruit at home, and therefore you don't have this biodegradable vegetable waste, vegetable or fruit waste. Secondly, you don't buy in bulk. Returning from office, you pick up a few items or a fruit, for example, but you need a bag. So he gives you a thin plastic bag, which is not biodegradable. So our local economy, our local stage of development has to be taken into account. Similarly, with the urban solid waste, municipal waste, there we are moving in a particular direction because the volume is expanding very rapidly. And Gujarat provides a very good example, a new model, public-private partnership, high temperature incineration for larger cities. I think that is very appropriate. There are other areas that we just heard from Dr. Chaurasia. Ambikapur, for example, has had a different model. They go for women's self-help groups. So what is happening today is that he said 21 such plants are there. Very soon we will find that good practices will be exchanged. The key issue is government has set up the regulation, government has provided the incentives, and government policy is moving municipal boards in this direction, which was not the case so far. Electricity, street lights, water, sewage, traffic lights, they were very much accepted as part of the budget.
Right.
And technology has stabilized. It is available in the country. Solid waste management of the kind we are talking about, including incineration of plastics and dealing with this electronic waste, is something new that is coming up. And I suspect it will have the same status in a municipality as streetlights have, as roads have,
okay,
as drinking water has. And because the stage of development we are going, and in that context, the public-private partnership of Gujarat is very significant, because we need that kind of model to take the next creative leap, not beyond regulation, beyond incentives, to find this partnership where the big gap that existed of maintenance in our municipal system has been met.
Okay.
As Mukulji mentioned, and regarding this question and PPP projects, Government of India has taken it at a very, let us say, high level. In budget itself, it was announced that 100 large cities will be supported to develop bankable projects, and no less than World Bank and ADB is supporting. Recently, they have visited. We have taken them to 4-5 states to understand. And in under these 100 cities, which account for around 50% of country urban population, this type of bankable projects are already under preparation. So once these things come, I think the thing we are discussing, that for efficiency and also for return, and seeing the municipality condition, these high-tech, let us say, industry, or these processing waste-to-energy and other these waste-to-energy plants, this thing will come up in a very big way. And these things will be able to take care of the waste, especially these our growing cities population, which, are, as you mentioned, that huge waste is going to be generated. So already government is working on this at a very fast pace.
I would like all four of you, if anyone would like to address this. And this is the Waste to Wealth Mission deploying decentralized waste processing technology park. If somebody can elaborate on it and give us the feedback.
See, if I can, Rajesh,
yeah,
your permission.
Yeah.
See, decentralized approaches work up to a certain level of urbanization. Ambikapur was mentioned, Sarguja, Ashpai Sarguja, Sarguja district. If it is small scale, you can deal with it. But now, for example, Delhi, decentralized model is not likely to work. So the point that Chaurasia ji made, the 100 largest cities where half the problem exists will probably need to go to a centralized or semi-centralized, in the sense like Delhi has 4 such plants. So Ahmedabad, other cities will have 3 or 4 such plants, because each plant needs the minimum volume or minimum tonnage of waste to work efficiently. So that will be one model. Another model will probably be for the next level of 50 or whatever population, 50% of the remaining population, where you will have semi-detached, maybe you will have, if you have the volume, you can have one plant. And then more decentralized models where the urban population is not that high, the waste volume is not that.
Okay.
But again, as Rajashji also said, the key issue is public-private partnership or bankable project, which is the significance of the Gujarat model, what we have just seen today.
On that note, I would say that the waste management starts with me. If I take up the initiative at my level, I'm sure it will percolate to other sectors as well, other people as well, from me to my community, to society, to the city, to the country, and others at large. Thank you so much, Dr. Chaurasia, Mr. Mukul Sanwal, Aparna, and Anupam.
Thank you.
You are listening to our discussion on Harnessing Waste to Wealth Strategies for Cleaner Cities and a Sustainable Future. The participants were Dr. V.K. Chaurasia, Advisor, Central Public Health and Environmental Engineering Organization, Ministry of Housing and Urban Affairs, and Mukul Sanwal, Senior Environmentalist. The moderator was Rajesh Lake, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044.